XM Sports presents At the Races with Steve Bick. Enough! Horse racing, handicapping, interviews. This is At the Races with Steve Bick.
We're back, hour three, 10 minutes in. I don't know what happened there. 10 minutes into hour three on this weekend preview, and we get a special second helping of Andy Serling this morning and this week because of the anticipation for the weekend's three Fox shows, America's Day at the Races, America's Weekend at the Races, with the Fantasy Today, Arkansas Derby, plus coverage from Tampa. And Andy, good morning.
Good morning, Steve. How are you?
I'm good. It's been interesting because, you know, we're going through a lot of, you know, a lot of analysis. You had some early feel early in the week for how to approach, you know, the headline races, fantasy and more. Wanted to circle back and look forward to this afternoon's action and then the marathon session tomorrow particularly.
Yeah, quite a lot of racing there. 14 tomorrow. Culminating with a 14 furlong race.
Perfect, right?
A furlong every race. Start on one furlong and end up at 14.
That'd be pretty fun. I got a quick announcement here that because I reached out to Danny Gargan to get word on his decision with Ice Princess. She will run in the fantasy.
Okay, that's news. Thank you.
Not at all. Came up earlier,
like a tough spot and for her, but okay.
Yeah, she's twice the price there.
The Gardenia wasn't an easy spot either. The Gardenia was the big stake at the Meadowlands for years, right? It was a good 2-year-old race. Wasn't that the filly version of the Young American?
That sounds right. It's funny. There's Gardenias at a lot of places, and of course Ellis Park had one. It was its you know, summer feature, and of course got changed to the name Groupie Doll.
Oh, so that mile race, right out of that funny sort of shoot?
Yes,
that
yes.
Mile shoot, yeah. I remember that race. So we like the fantasy, Steve.
I'm going to pick Venetian Harbor and Harvey's Little Goyle, and I'm going to lean on those two, Andy, in the Maltese.
Well, they run like the right two horses. I mean, I don't, you know, obviously the morning line is just badly inaccurate there, but I'm not sure who looked at that race and thought Harvey's Little Goyle would be 12-1. I understand it's 14 horse field, but I mean, she's pretty good. She's good. And so is Venetian Harbor. You know, it'll be interesting. I have to imagine that they learned from their mistake last time with Lake Avenue, you know, whether it was on instructions or just a poor choice by Joelle. I don't know why she was rated last time. She's obviously a horse that needs to lead to be effective. And so you imagine Lake Avenue will be aggressive in here, which, you know, we'll see. You know, if she, I don't know if she's as fast as Venetian Harbor. I don't think she is. But I think they have to at least try to be aggressive. Venetian Harbor's good. I don't have a knock on her. She's trying to get an extra 16th of a mile. Well, then the pure distance was a real problem last time. So I don't see why it's supposed to be a significant problem today. And she's good. And Harvey's Little Goyle's good, too. I mean, the thing about Harvey's Little Goyle, I know her figs are slower, and that's fair. But her last race is a visually impressive win. She didn't break, and she was wide the whole way, just sort of moving up probably too soon, and just not really the kind of trip that you win with unless you're just a lot better in the field. And she is a lot better than where she's run against, and obviously she's being significantly tougher horse today. But I think she's shown a lot in her races, and she's a real challenger to Venetian Harbor. To me, anybody else is an upset here. And Candace Kiss ran very well last time. She moved way too soon in there, as it turned out. I don't think it's Eric Hansel's fault, because Lake Avenue appeared to be the horse he had to beat. And so he made an aggressive move after, but it turned out to be too quick a pace and too soon, and she just got legweary late. She improved. I'll be interested to see what she does, but she's going to have to improve some more to beat those horses. The other horses in here, I know British Idiom deserving two-year-old champ last year, and Ralph Valles was a very good race. I don't know. I don't think a Breeders' Cup was a particularly good race. That was a very weak running, and she had a perfect trip to win it. I say that having better. And I thought she was dismal in the race. I read Brad Cox said he really liked her race there. Well, I mean, I understand that people are supposed to be, you know, trainers and be optimistic and say things, but I'd like to know what he liked about her race, because I thought it was a dismal performance. And if somebody wants to say she was complimented, the Swiss Skydiver came back to win her next start. I think that's ignoring the circumstances that enable Swiss Skydiver to win a race, and that included just a buffoonish rides and a very lucky sort of scenario where she found herself in the lead at a very slow pace against two horses that are significantly faster than her, who were rated for whatever reasons. The only horse missing from here might be Lucretia, right?
Considering what we've got. I mean, 28.
I wonder where, you know, Finite, something must have gone wrong when she ran so badly in the Fairground Oaks. She's not in here. Imagine that Steve's a runner. Doing all right, so.
Turn to Saturday, Andy. I want to get a couple of final thoughts from you on the pick three of the stakes sequence.
You know, I've looked really hard. I really like Charlatan. And knowing I'm going to get even money on him because I saw the morning line is pretty exciting. So really, I don't know if I want him to pick three. I think I'll just empty my entire account out at him at even money. Can I get that? Or is he going to be one to nine in here? No, I mean, his job was made so much easier when Shooter Shoot came out. I just don't like anybody else in here. I'm not a Gouverneur Morris fan. I've yet to see him run particularly well. I guess he could be second. And Odor was so awful last time, it's hard to believe, but you know, maybe this race in California just aren't that good, right? You know, 1,000 words falling apart, but it seemed a little better than that. I don't get the Basin love. I was talking about with David Aragona yesterday. He and I see his last race completely differently. He thinks he was shuffled back at a key moment. I think he was saving ground and just sort of got into trouble. I don't disagree, but I don't think he had any run at all. And I actually do think that Tyshon, who ran third, ran better. That was a collapsed race, and the first two were sort of lucky. Charlatan's a serious horse. The only thing that's going to beat Charlatan is the distance. If for some reason he just can't get the distance, but he got a mile last time, and he was powering away from him. His maiden win was terrific. His last race was sort of electrifying. He's a gigantic talent. I mean, distance is a question with him, and whether it's 9 furlongs or 10 furlongs. I don't know how far ultimately he's going to be his most effective. But this horse, he's good. He's really, really, really good. As far as the Arkansas Derby, Oakland Handicap, I mean, there's a lot of horses that can win. Listen, I understand the concept of Mr. Freeze ran this giant race last time, and a repeat of that performance would win here. I want to see it. I think he's a better horse at a one-turn mile. I just think that he's not really suited. And plus, with Warrior's Charge in here, he's not going to be, you know, controlling on the front end. So I think he's very vulnerable. I think Trophy Chaser's a player in here at a big price. Mm-hmm. I know he's got a ship and run as well, but he's run very well in his last two races. I don't think either one of those races should be ignored. Tacitus can absolutely win this race. He's just good enough to win. I think the question with him is, you know, he ran Saudi, which is, 2 months ago now? A little over 2 months. And then they went to Dubai. Obviously, that race didn't come about, but has all that traveling taken anything out of him? I think that's the biggest question about with him. But it's a good race. His race in Saudi, I think, makes him very possibly a winner in this race. And I think Improbable's dangerous in here. I don't buy an argument that he can't get a mile and eighth. I think that's as foolish as the argument that Medaglia d'Oro wasn't a mile and a quarter horse, even though he's ran the best race he ever ran a mile and a quarter, and ran a super race in the Belmont a mile and a half. This horse is PA Derby. If he hadn't gotten left that day, he would have won. And he ran second, beating a length on this track at Omaha Beach a mile and eighth last year. A lot of the same people who seem to think he might not be a 9 furlong horse also seem to think that Omaha Beach may have been the last 3-year-old in the country last year. Well, both can't be true, you know? Omaha Beach, we know, is a very good horse, and there's nothing wrong with his effort there. He just happened to run second to one of the best three-year-olds in the country last year. So I think he's as dangerous as Post rolls along one in the first turn. He ran very well in his race last time, attacking the pace, and he lost to, of course, Tom's Decod, who might be the horse to beat in here if you were in here. So I think he's perfectly logical. 2-9-14 were my main. And, I mean, Nadal is the horse to beat. He did survive a fast pace last time. I'm not going to deny that. But he's going to have to, you know, we'll see how much, you know, Wells Bayou is going to go. So he's going to have to deal with him in here. And he ended up Nadal on the rail last time, which I think was very advantageous later in the day. So he can lose. And clearly the horse that can beat him are King Guillermo, who ran so well at Tampa. He's got to show that race was for real. But why am I suggesting it wasn't? And Silver Prospector had a perfect trip, but I don't think he's impossible off his win two back. And you can make a credible case that Silver Prospector did not like the slop at Oaklawn in his last and then three back starts. I know he handled wet track at Churchill, but one wet track doesn't equal another. So 4-5-7. The Storm the Court's not impossible to get a piece in here. I just think he's a little too slow, but I didn't think his race in the San Felipe was bad. I know a lot of people want to knock him because he's sort of a mediocre one of the Breeders' Cup juveniles. That doesn't mean he's a bad horse, you know? You sort of get married to these opinions people do, and they fail to evaluate the horses properly. I think he's probably a little too slow to win, but I don't think he's that far out of it.
I brought him up with Nick earlier, Nick Tamaro, and I felt like he might be the horse that gets overlooked from a price standpoint tomorrow.
Yeah, I don't know if he's good enough, but he's not a bad horse. He's not.
Yeah, you know, he's not as bad as people want to make out. Yeah.
Right. There's nothing wrong with his race in the San Felipe. He ran very well. Authentic is for real, and he's the one who went after him. And a lot of people like Honor AP. That was a pretty good horse he was running with. So I don't see why you can't get it. Yeah, I think he's probably unlikely to beat all three of the ones we mentioned, but I wouldn't be surprised if he's effective in here and runs well.
I'm glad to hear you say that. Andy, got a wrap, but you're terrific with extreme, you know, potential for extreme paces and with, you know, short and very long. A thought in that mile and three quarter, how do you suggest people look at a race like that?
Well, I think the most important thing is if you can find horses that you know are effective at the distance, because distance is a great equalizer in racing, especially in these long route dirt races where very few horses get to run. So while on paper, a horse like the five seems like the horse to beat, Carlos Sixes, and I think you probably want to use the horse at least defensively, you know that there are two horses in here that thrive at this distance. The obvious is the Rouge Diesel, the 11, who won this race 2 years in a row at Oaklawn and 3 years ago was second in it. So you know he's not going to have a problem with the distance and gets a rider change to Ricardo Santana, which is obviously good. But Wild About You easily beat him in a mile and a half at Belterra, and he's been effective going long and run well in the past. So I think the 10, 11 are two absolute must-uses in this race, simply because you know that the distance is going to be a problem. And they're going to, you know, there's big gaps in these kind of races quite often for a reason. Horses simply can't get the distance.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
And we're on FS2 from 4 to 7 today. We're on FS1 from 1 to 8 tomorrow, and then 8:30. Which includes this race, I believe, on FS2. And then we're on FS2 on Sunday, talking about Tampa from, I think, 1:30 to 5.
Jesus. Wow.
And you're glad to know this. That I see that Bernadette Peters has her mask on, by the way, in case you're interested. She's the only person I ever see anymore.
Across the rooftop. I love it. I love it. Andy, we'll watch for you this afternoon, and looking forward to the coverage on Fox Sports. And they're bringing the house. Everybody's going to contribute from everywhere. You and Maggie back involved.
Maggie
and
I will be on with Pete and Gary today, and the whole crew will be sharing shifts tomorrow. Greg and Michelle added to it, Jonathan, Tom, and then I don't know what the Sunday lineup is.
Well, we're going to be watching.
Michelle and Greg, which, yeah, I think, but I'm not sure.
Well, and ideally, if everything works out from our mouths to God, from Belmont Park in a few weeks as well.
It'll be lovely to get back racing. The sooner the better. Steve, I'll let you go.
Andy, thanks a lot for this. I really appreciate
it. My pleasure.
Thank you. Appreciate...
I'll talk to you soon.
No, not at all. Not at all. The Naira produced shows, Fox Sports 1 and 2, the next 3 days. 4 to 7 today on 2 and 1 to 8, mostly on Fox Sports 1.
All and then 1 tomorrow to 5. And 1 to 8. And then FSG,
perfect.
Please. All right. Excellent. Later.
Take care. Andy Serling, everybody, from the studio, from his studio in the Upper West Side. In Manhattan. We'll go from New York to California. Jeff Siegel standing by. Haven't spoken to Jeff in a couple of weeks, but considering the action, I know he's diving right in, and there's a lot of coverage at xbtv.com and at ExpressBet from Jeff and from Millie and from Zoe. Jeff, good morning.
Good morning. How you doing today?
Excellent. Jeff, lots to do, and getting showered on racetrack. First of all, I imagine you had R.D. Hubbard dealings over the years.
Yeah, he was quite a guy. I remember our dealings very fondly, actually. I really liked him. He was a good guy, eccentric, but still very, very pro racing and easy to work with, and had lost touch with him, obviously, in the last several, couple of decades, really. I knew him much better in the early 90s when he was at Hollywood Park, but still, really a good guy. Enjoyed working with him.
Well, and just brought so much to the industry. We'll talk more about him next week with many who were close. Let's dive into the action, Jeff, and you got good news seemingly in California, so we'll circle back in a couple of weeks as things get back started at Santa Anita, assuming all the I's get dotted and T's crossed the way we expect. But some thoughts about the Oaklawn action today and tomorrow.
Wow. I mean, this is really challenging, but interesting and invigorating, really, when you see how it used to be. And, of course, with so few tracks in operation right now, if you want to run, there aren't many options. And I notice a number of California-based runners flying into to Oaklawn. And it not only are you looking at big fields and competitive racing, but you're getting competition that you otherwise might not get. A lot of these horses that are racing at Oaklawn from California wouldn't be there if there was racing at Santa Anita. So for whatever it is, we're going to enjoy it for the next couple of days and, attack the races and enjoy it from afar. Good racing, obviously, today and fantastic racing tomorrow at Oaklawn Park.
Fantasy opinion today?
Well, yeah, I mean, there's so many possibilities here with the fields are so big. I actually printed out the overnight for tomorrow. I think it took 6 pages, literally, on my printer. Today, though, there are a couple of intriguing races that I like. One in the eighth race, it's a good race for fillies going a middle distance, and there's a 12-to-1 shot that I give a good look to. Her name is Quick Decision. This is a filly that I really do think is going to run well here. It's a race called the Gardenia. It's a race for 3-year-old fillies, kind of like the consolation, I guess, or I don't even call it consolation, but for the fantasy. And this is a filly that that won her first two starts sprinting, and obviously didn't run against this level of competition. But she's inside speed, stretching out for the first time. She's a high quality filly. If you go back and watch her video, you'd see that she always gives you that. She's able to give you that second move in the final furlong when it looks like she's kind of losing her punch. She seems to reach back and find more, and she did that in both of her two sprints, and she was under pressure in both races. So I think she could get loose in the lead here, and while she's unproven at this level and at this distance, that's why you get 12-to-1. So I like Quick Decision as a chance to steal the race, the Gardenia. And then there's the 10th race in the program. We've got a shipper from California named Spend, 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 and I know this filly very well out here in California, and she's training really well. For Richard Baltus, who actually claimed her for $40,000 at Del Mar last summer, comes back off the long layoff, protects her in an allowance race, and ships her from California all the way out to Oaklawn after a series of very, very good works here at Santa Anita. She is fit and ready, picks up Flavian Pratt I think she's like 7-2 in the morning line, and boy, I'll take that if I can get it. I think this filly is going to run at least as well, if not better, than she ever has, and she earned a 92 buyer number in her last start, which would just blitz this field. So I like spend in the 10th race today at Oaklawn Park.
Well, you and I may end up having the same kinds of days because I put Quick Decision on top in my tabs, and I also preferred the 7-2 number on spend to the 5-2 on Wholehearted, and I also alerted people to Unique Factor, a 12-1 Valerie Lund, and I'm even going to use Raintree Starlet a little bit as well as a B, but I agree with you on spend. Let's talk about Saturday, and how about a pick three from the two Arkansas Derbies, and I imagine you're not bending over backwards to try to beat Charlatan.
No, I mean, not that he needed the help, but he got it when Shooter Shoot scratched. But this is a colt that's obviously going to control the race from the rail. You know, he beat Shooter Shoot when they ran against each other in a maiden race, and he just shook him off and then comes back and just gallops by 10. It'll be interesting to see how Rushy performs. He's on an undercard race, an allowance race earlier in the day. But I think Charlatan is obviously a high-quality colt. If you're going to make any money in this race, I think you have to find the second horse. And I think a lot of people will gravitate towards Gouverneur Morris, who didn't get the best of runs on the Florida Derby and looks like he'll get a lot of action to finish in the two-hole. But I actually thought Basin has a chance to run second in that race because I know he won the Hopeful on the sloppy track, but I don't think he's been real happy with the off-tracks at Oaklawn in his first two starts this year. Reasonable third without a good trip behind the Dell, and then last time out he got caught behind horses and didn't get out well, and he was in a box and he was getting mud kicked in his face, and he just got mad. But he's going to be on the outside on fast ground going to Mountain Eighth, and I think you're going to find, at least I'm going to find out if Basin is any good. I thought he was good last year, and I still am not willing to give up on him. I don't think he can beat Charlton, but I think he could run second. So maybe that'll help us make some money in the first division of the Arkansas Derby. As for the second division, the 13th race, we can talk about the race in between in a minute, but I really think Nadal is really, really good. He's trained better now than he trained even before he started, and he was all the rage even before he started because he's looked to me like he's learning how to relax and switch off. And while I do think he's fast enough to make the lead, I don't know how committed Wells Bayou will be from way out there, but if he just busts over and opens up, I don't have any doubt in my mind that Nadal could stalk and sit second and win. That's the way he's been acting in the morning, and he just looks to me like a colt that is just exceptional. 5-2 in the morning line, and King Guillermo is 3-1, and I don't even think I think it's apples and oranges between those two. I mean, King Guillermo won very nicely in Tampa Bay and went 48.75 and Nadal can do that, you know, in a common gallop. He threw a 46 and change at King Guillermo. I want to see how he reacts to that. So we'll see. I like Nadal, and I like Charlatan, and it's a good race. Now, the one in between is pretty tough. Let's face it. That's a throwback to the old days where you had, you know, handicap races with big fields, and they all looked, you know, alike, so to speak. So I don't really have a great, great opinion on that race. I mean, if I'm playing it, I'm obviously going to spread the race. I don't know. I mean, like I say, you have the luxury of, I mean, I have the luxury of spreading that race if I'm going to single the ones in the outside and the inside in that race. But in terms of the actual race, Mr. Freeze, to me, I don't know if he wants to run a mile and eighth or not. I mean, he did win the West Virginia Derby doing that, but he got an easy trip that day. I like him. He's sharp. You know, he's a 5-year-old, but he's only had 12 starts. It's not like, you know, he doesn't have further room for improvement. So I think he might be my tentative top pick, but he's certainly not a single. Improbable, I don't think the 14 hole is going to bother him. It'll give him less time to go crazy in the gate. If he can just load up and then spring the latch, I think that'll help him if he can do that, because he always acts up in the gate. But I think he'll sit over and draft over and get a good stalking trip. Last time they used him hard, and I don't think he'll have to be used hard this time. So I'd use him. You know, I mean, the Sanity, the handicap winner, combatant, he's I'm not wild about him. I'll certainly use him because of Rosario and Sadler. He's kind of a one-pace, kind of grinding type of horse, and I think he won the big cap. He's just kind of outstayed everybody in that race, but I think he's going to need a little bit more acceleration to extract himself from the big field. I'll use him, but I'm not wild about him as the favorite. And, I even think Tacitus will run well. I think maybe he's might be more sure. more at home in a mile and an eighth than he is on the farther trip. So those are four horses I'll definitely use, but again, I have the luxury of spreading deeper if I want to do that.
Well, we've been spreading deeply with opinions on the Oaklawn cards today and tomorrow as their season ends. And, Jeff, you, I'm sure, were as heartened as anybody by what transpired over essentially the last 72 hours and the prospects of getting things back up and running at Santa Anita as soon as 2 weeks.
Yeah, I mean, that's we're all kind of waiting around. We haven't been racing now for, 6 weeks, something like that, and horses have been training. They've got to run, and I think everybody will run. I mean, that's why we're looking forward to it, because we should have good fields. The condition book is out. The stakes will be really good. Not that anybody will be able to go to the track and watch them, but we'll sit at home and watch and enjoy that way, and the gambling will be good. So it's time to kind of kick on, and, we're all kind of getting a little stir-crazy here, but maybe things will start to ease up a little bit, and we can get back to a little bit of a normal type of situation.
Very much, and we appreciate it. Jeff Siegel, everybody, J. Siegel Racing on Twitter at xbtv.com and at expressbet.com. Jeff, good luck this weekend. Talk very soon.
Thanks a lot.
Jeff Siegel. We'll stay right here, and we'll close out these last 22 minutes with Mike Welch and Mary Rampolini from the Daily Racing Forum. Mike Welch joins us with a quick peek ahead to three stakes sequence, a couple of good maiden specials at Gulfstream tomorrow. Mike, good morning.
Good morning, Steve.
I tell you, the focus we know is on Oaklawn, and I do want to get a couple of thoughts about some Florida horses that are running, but give everybody a glance at what turned up to be a nice Saturday card for Gulfstream tomorrow.
Yeah, this is really the start of the real spring stakes schedule. I know we had a race last week that they wrote for the three-year-olds, and there's going to be some others added in as we go along. Now that they're opening up some of those tracks up north, we might not have these horses around here that much longer, but there are some plans to ride a couple more races in the next couple of weeks. But, these were the races that were originally on the schedule, the state bred race for the sprinters, the big drama, which we have at this time, pretty much every spring now that we've started this kind of program here, year-round racing, and then the two turf races for the three-year-olds.
Give us some quick opinions on these three. Pick three.
Where do you want to start?
9, 10, 11. 9, 10, 11. Just a quick pick three.
The ninth, the Honey Rider. It's three-year-old fillies on the turf. You have Highland Glory for Barkley Tag, who's a half sister to Highland Sky. Ran to that breeding, won a stake last time, is coming back against pretty much or some of the same bunch, I should say. But there are some new faces in there. As well, including Envutante, who I found to be very interesting. He started his career on the turf. She started her career on the turf, ran a good third, went to the dirt, was a very easy and well-graded winner last time on the dirt. And now she's back to the turf, coming off some good work and a big buyer. I think the line maker here made her the favorite, even though she's coming off a main track maiden win, and you've got Highland Glory coming off a turf stakes win. But I think she's got a big shot, and she may not be the morning line price, but she's probably not going to be too much higher off that last effort. So that's who I like. I picked Envutante, and, of course, you got to use Highland Glory. And, there's some new faces in here as well. Seducer, who really didn't get a trip in that Highland race, was the tepid 5-2 favorite. After being on the lead first time out impressively in New York, Joel Rosario took this horse back to near the rear of the pack and actually gave her no chance to win. She's got IRAD tomorrow, so she's going to get bet again, but she will have to come out of a compromising post position.
Well, the Honey Rider goes as the ninth. This action starts at 4:53. The big drama, as you mentioned, and it just happens that we talked to Stanley Huff earlier in the week, and Stanley said, I just asked him, how's he hate me? And he said, I think we're running this weekend, and here he is. Kind of nice, though, to see David Fox and Mr. Queen with Noble Drama in this spot as well.
Yeah, I mean, Noble Drama probably better going a little longer than 7/8 of a mile. But obviously, you know, this horse fits right in with the Florida Breds, won the Sunshine Millions Classic at a mile and an eighth. So going 7/8. It's also good to see Paco back. Back a lot quicker than we expected, but Paco's on Noble Drama. He Hate Me, you know, ran well in the Sir Shackleton behind Vekoma, who's kind of a runaway winner. 7/8, a new, pretty much a new experience for him, mostly a three-quarter horse, but has not been off the board in three starts at 7/8. But, you know, the horse everybody's going to be focusing on is Network Effect for Chad Brown. I mean, this horse was second in the National, was second in the Remsen as a two-year-old, missed a long time after that, came back and won an allowance, ran in the Cigar Mile over his head there, and then took a little more time off, back as a four-year-old this year, second in his first start going a mile here. He's going to be the favorite. 7/8, you know, probably not his best distance either, although he won his career debut going 7/8. He ran well last time, and he's got IRAD. He's going to be the big favorite in the year. The problem for him is going to be the pace scenario. There's no speed in here at all to speak of, except for the defending champ, Royal Squeeze. The eight-year-old, who has won 564,000 and run 42 times in his career, he's going to go out and start number 43. He's going to be loose on the lead. I know he was loose on the lead last time and got a little tired, but he went a little too quick, 22-1, 44-2. He can slow things down a little bit. He might just jump up and surprise people. So I keep an eye on Royal Squeeze. He Hate Me, obviously. Everyone in here, you could almost make a case for. Maybe not the three-year-old with Verb. I think he's in a little over his head here, but taking on older horses. But it's a good race. It'll be interesting to see if Network Effect could come back and improve on that last start. He has the potential to be a real stakes caliber horse in the handicap division later in the year.
Mike, a quick note, too. Gardner and Ty, second off the layoff for Ralph Nix, who's 0-15 since they reset the the standings. And this is just a horse that I kind of latched onto as a two-year-old, and he might be tighter second off, a fairly significant break. You saw him prepare since the Sir Shackleton, and it particularly looks like that last work on the 24th, a minute and three-fifths. Maybe he's a little tighter for this spot. He's going to be a decent price.
I would say he's going to be tighter. It just, we got to just kind of see him, see if he can run back to that good form from last year and early in his career. Most of it came against three-year-olds back in his three-year-old year. He was second in the big drama last year behind Royal Squeeze. He's a little bit pace-challenged here, too, but he likes 7/8, and I expect him to run a lot better. Whether a lot better is going to be good enough, it may take him even one more to get back to his best and maybe a little less competition than he's going to be facing here once these bigwigs start leaving town. These local horses, they're going to appreciate seeing the lesser competition and hearing them in the next month or so, or maybe less than that.
Well, let's get to the English Channel, and here's Stanley again with Sagamore and South Bend, who is not the favorite, and I think really figures in here, and Stanley made it sound like he expects him to be imposing.
Yeah, I mean, look, he was second to Decorated Invader last time in the Cutler Bay. You know, he's got a little hang in him the last three races. Kind of didn't kick on totally through the last eighth of a mile, quarter of a mile. But I guess you could call him the class of the field. He's going to need some help with the pace as well. I heard some talk that Stanley was maybe considering waiting on this horse. And I think there's something at Churchill coming up. Now that they've made their plans for Churchill,
I heard a
little whisper
he might
come out of here and wait to go to Churchill, but I'm not so sure. It seems to make more sense. You're here, and you look pretty good in this spot. So South Bend, obviously one of the main ones. I like Just a Nick of Time a little bit, too, coming off the claim. Second the Coffee Bean last time with a bad trip, and his first time might make it today. I think he's going to run a lot better. He got the speed of Express Pharaoh, going to step up off a maiden win. Gufo coming off a nice win for Christophe Clement. Buy Me Candy coming off a well-graded win, maiden win, but stepping up in class. Pretty good feel. It's pretty well match. I think there's a lot of ways you can go. Proven Strategies, back to Open Company after two easy wins against State Breds. So there's a lot of possibilities in here. I think South Bend will be the tepid favorite, but I don't think he has to win by any means.
Mike Welch with us a couple more minutes. And, Mike, the action at Oaklawn, plenty of Florida outfits heading over. We've been talking about them, some of the major players when it comes to the three-year-olds, as you were watching them prepare, excuse me, including, of course, King Guillermo coming off the Tampa Bay Derby win. But he's just one of several that were preparing for these spots today and tomorrow at Payson, Palm Meadows, Palm Beach Downs, Gulfstream, and even Calder.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, I haven't seen any other of the ones except the ones that are here at Gulfstream, and the two most notable of those are the Juanavilla horses, Trophy Chaser, who's, he's stepping way up in company here, but boy, those two races, the first two times around two turns, you can't run much better than that.
No. You
know, that was a pretty big win. I know it was only a neck, but he and King for a Day put on a pretty good show. And King for a Day, I think, was the even money favorite for Todd over there in the Challenger. And he got the better of them. And they were 16th of a mile ahead of the rest of the field. You see those buyers, 103 and 102. Sure fits with this bunch. And he's doing well, training well. And but not as well, I don't think, as his stablemate, King Guillermo. I just love the way he's trained coming up to this race. You know, by all accounts, if you're a sheep player, buyer player, whatever, he's supposed to bounce off that huge number at Tampa, but the one good thing is he's had plenty of time to recuperate from it. And if you watch him work in the morning here, he sure doesn't look like a horse that's going to go backwards. Big story, obviously, because of the connections, the ownership. I give him a big chance in here. This is a big step up in class. Obviously, Sol Volante, who he beat easily in Tampa, is a nice horse, but you got Nadal, obviously. And some of these other West Coast horses that you're going to have to deal with, Storm the Court, another one of those. So he's going to get tested here, but it certainly wouldn't shock me if he King Guillermo step up if he won this race.
That's been the consensus, actually, all morning. And, in fact, Jay Pridman, who started us off, Jay said the more he watched the Tampa Bay Derby, the more impressed he got. And then he subsequently watched the workouts that have been available on XBTV. And Jay seemed to have, kind of cleaned the glasses and is more and more impressed with him. The second division, obviously.
Jay and I have been talking.
There it is.
He's been asking me
I love
how the
it.
Horse is doing, and I kept giving him a lot of thumbs up, nice. The last few weeks. So that's when he cleaned the glasses and went in and took a good look. And, Jay's opinion is pretty good when it comes to these three-year-olds. So I like him even more now that Jay likes him.
I love it. And today, the two Motts, and Mott with the win yesterday, and then he's got Antoinette, in the Gardenia today, and then the two big hitters, Lake Avenue and Harvey's Lil Goyle. And even though they're not going to, neither one will probably be double digits, there is going to be some value to be had given the depth of this field and the presence of the Breeders' Cup winner, British Idiom, and the talking horse, Venetian Harbor. But and I know they're up at Payson, and nobody, very few people get to see what goes on there. But any read on, the drum beats and the smoke signals?
From there, no. That's another world.
Right.
They might as well be in New York, as far as I'm concerned, being up there. I had some Mr. Freeze. It'll be interesting to see how Mr. Freeze runs in here. When he came out of the Gulfstream Park Mile, started training back. He was to go back before the Gulfstream Park Mile. He trained absolutely super going into that race and ran to his workouts. Came out of it the same way. I don't know if they backed off him a little bit, waiting to see what they were going to do, or he just, Meta lost a little bit of his sharpness. I just don't think his last couple of works, he's quite as sharp as he was going into the Gulfstream Park Mile. On paper, he's definitely one of the ones to beat in here. So it'll be interesting to see how he performs. Like I said, if they had run this race a month after the Gulfstream Park Mile, I would have said he'd be the one to beat. I'm not so sure. This is a really tough spot, obviously, and the same goes for Trophy Chaser to have to take on Combatant and improbable, and by my standards, it's a tall order. This is a very, very good race.
It really turned out great, and Mike, I appreciate it, and of course, you mentioned some of the outfits pulling out. The gates will be open for them at Churchill in the coming 10, 12 days, and so the complexion of the racing down there should change a little bit, but we'll stay in touch, and obviously... It's so weird. Said the same thing to Jay for it to be Oaks Day and none of us where we usually are, but we're going to make the most of it and enjoy the weekend. Thanks for this.
I know I'm going to miss my Imperizzelli pizza tomorrow night at about 10 o'clock. That's where we usually are, 10 o'clock Derby night at Imperizzelli. obviously missing Pats and everything else here this week. One last thing, too. We are going to offer clocker reports, bonus clocker report coverage, on the three big races tomorrow from Oaklawn, of the horses that we've seen here in South Florida, other than the ones obviously at Payson, and of some of the horses that have been at Santa Anita. So, there's a half dozen or so we'll have reports on there, and that's not going to change the price of the Gulfstream report for Saturday. Just a little added bonus coverage.
Nice. Outstanding. Well, we got more DRF bonus coverage right now because Mary Rampolini standing by to close out the season at Oaklawn and to close out this weekend preview. Mike, thanks so much. Talk soon. Mike Welch, everybody. DRF Welch on your Twitter unit. And Mary Rampolini, DRF Rampolini on your Twitter. She joins us now for the big send-off. Just about 5 minutes, Mary, to kind of close out the meet. Good morning.
Good morning, Steve. How are you today?
Excellent, Mary, and here you are. The new schedule anyway at Oaklawn that was going to run through till Derby Saturday. Well, we didn't know when we started talking back in January and February that it was going to be Arkansas Derby Day at the same time the first Saturday in May.
Lots of twists and turns for everyone this spring, and just like you said, Steve. Today, which would have been Kentucky Oaks Day, instead we're going to have a Kentucky Oaks points race, obviously, the fantasy here at Oaklawn, and then, like you said, Kentucky Derby Day scheduled for tomorrow will instead be a pair of runnings of the Arkansas Derby.
Well,
looks like
some
a beautiful
thoughts.
Weekend here, I will say that.
Well, finally. That's a story in itself because it was such a rough winter, and there were so many Saturdays you'd tune in, and there was rain, and you'd hope for Sunday, and that it would continue. But to close out like this, that's a positive. The 14 race card tomorrow. A quick thought, Mary, and I don't know if you saw. I reached out to Danny Gargan, Ice Princess, running in the fantasy. Your fantasy thought before we talk about the pick three stakes Saturday.
Oh yes, fabulous race. As everyone has certainly has the same feeling. I like Venetian Harbor in there, maybe to control the pace. And she seems like she's a pretty exciting filly, and certainly you have to respect the chant, British idiom, in there.
Turn then quickly to Saturday and the two divisions. They've been impacted by scratches. We've gone from 11 horse fields in both to 9 horse fields, and it seems to leave Charlatan, very much in control of the first division.
Yeah, he looks very, very tough in there for sure, Steve. I'm looking forward to seeing how Governor Morris runs as well, and a Basin as well. You know, there's some interesting horses in there, but from a pace standpoint, definitely he's the horse to run down. And the Oaklawn Handicap is a great field as well. I think I'm going to give the respect to Combatant off that Santa Anita Handicap win, and I'm very interested to see what Mr. Freeze does.
Well, and we just got some insight. Actually, Mike seemed to kind of raise a little bit of an alarm, not an alarm bell, but it sounded to me like Mike hasn't been as impressed with Mr. Freeze, after the big effort in the last, as he was with him going in. Let's talk about the Arkansas Derby. Division 2, and this is the one that really seems to be well-balanced. Honest Pace seems to be established. Wells Bayou is going to want to go. King Guillermo likes to be in the vanguard, and we'll see how Rosario and Nadal decide to handle things when the gates open.
Yes, you know, I do like Nadal in here. He was out this morning, kind of just really just looked beautiful this morning, composed, stood in for a while, took in the training scene, and just had an easy gallop. And I think, Steve, I have to say, his heart and the fight that he showed last time just really impressed me. And I'm excited to see him run. And this is a great test. This is a great measuring stick, this group of horses he gets to run against here and then put that 3-for-3 record on the line.
Well, and Mary, I'm curious, who'd you end up with in the Trail's End in the mile and three quarter finale of the meet?
Sure, that's a very good question. Let's see here. You know, I went with Magic Vow. Who did you like in there, Steve?
I have not decided, and one of the things, I'll make the decision when I write the card up in the morning. You know, but it to me, it's always, you know, I always want horses that, with the outfits having pointed for it, and you know, Carlos Sixes figures tough and gets the 7 pounds with the with the bug. You know, that actually in a mile and three quarters figures in. Nick Tamaro made a good point about River Echo and Contreras, you know, seemingly, you know, plucking, you know, getting this one, you know, specifically for this spot. Andy Serling was talking about Wild About You and the Rogue Diesel. I'm going to have to really, you know, kind of make some final determinations.
It's going to take you a while to get through. It's a nice big field, which is kind of the theme this whole weekend.
Nothing but big fields, and it's been, you know, it obviously it's a meet that has been impacted by the no spectators, but overall, Mary, the sense that you get from the Sellers and the team at Hot Springs?
Oh, you know, it was very, I actually talked to Lucella the other day, and we were laughing just how beautiful the weather forecast is, because a year ago, on what was Arkansas Derby Day, it was a very wet day.
Oh, that's that's right.
Beautiful forecast for tomorrow, 85 and sunny. But, you know, they're horsemen. They know the importance of the horses racing, and they have worked very hard along with the horsemen to do what they can do along with the state to keep the meet going here. And they're very happy to do it. And they're really excited for the card. And, you know, it's been a different kind of season. It's been, you know, unusual to be without the fans. But it sure is a lot of good racing to close it out. And it sure does feel like a festival in the entry box.
Absolutely. Mary, thanks for everything all season long. We'll catch up soon.
Thank you, Steve.
Bye-bye. Mary Rampolini, who does such a great job throughout the South, really, from New Orleans to Louisiana to New Mexico. I want to thank Mary, Mike Welch, Jeff Siegel, Andy Serling, Ed DeRosa, Nick Tamaro, Hammer, James Scully, Jay Pridman, Casey on the board, and all of you. Again, stay safe this weekend. Have a wonderful Derby day tomorrow, and Fantasy Oaks today, etc. I'll have my fantasy plays and stuff, and Gus's too. Have it up on the website shortly, and we'll talk to you Monday. Thanks, everybody.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
Have you heard about the new handicapping and betting app that is sweeping the nation? It's called First Bet, and it puts the power of AI-assisted handicapping, seamless wagering, and live HD video in the palm of your hand. Thousands of bettors have already made First Bet their way to handicap, bet, and watch more than 300 of the world's top tracks. Isn't it time for you to join them? And when you give First Bet a try today, you can cash in on a huge welcome bonus. Sign up with promo code SPORTOFKINGS, all one word, and you will get $10 just for joining, as well as a 10% rebate, up to $500 for your first bet. last 30 days. With that much free cash on the line, what do you have to lose? Get started at first.com/bet. That's number1st.com/bet. And don't forget promo code SPORTOFKINGS when you sign up. And if you already have an ExpressBet account, you're way ahead of the game. Simply log into FirstBet using your username and password, and you're off to the races. Up to 18 years or older and 21 years old in certain states to open an account with FirstBet and reside in the state where such activity is legal. Void or prohibited. National Gambling Support Line 800-522-4700.
145 over 92.
180 over 111.
182 over 100. And I had a heart attack and a cardiac arrest. And then a stroke.
Your blood pressure numbers could change your life.
A lot of people don't understand, including myself, I didn't, now I do, the impact of having a stroke.
My memory is shot.
When I woke up, I couldn't speak.
If I would have followed a treatment plan, I would not be in this situation.
It's a tough journey.
Lowering your high blood pressure could save you from a heart attack or stroke. If you've stopped your treatment plan, restart it, or talk to your doctor about creating one that works better for you. Start taking the right steps at manageyourbp.org.
It's a new life, but I'm going to make it better. I'll come back. Ask your doctor, check your blood pressure.
Learn the business of horses in the world's only accredited equine business program, the University of Louisville Equine Business Program. The University of Louisville has a legacy of excellence for more than 25 years of equine business education. Classes are taught by industry experts in state-of-the-art facilities located in the heartland of America's equine industry. The University of Louisville Equine Business Program. When it comes to horses, we mean business. For more information, visit business.louisville.edu/equine.
From BRL Equine, the people that bring you EPO Equine, Unlock, and Bleeder Shield, now comes Flexify HA, the most advanced scientifically based joint supplement on the market. To find out more, contact me, Joseph Vellante, at 215-501-6880. To be the best, give them only the best. BRL Equine.